So through the years, I have gotten better and better at figuring out what makes me unique, which is a good thing for all and any of us to do. Figure out what makes you, you. How did God make you special? What was the point of God making you when there are so many other people in the world? And I don't just mean my horrible pastor jokes, because they're pretty unique too. And I'm developing already my bad dad jokes. But I found over the course of time that one of my most unique traits is my work ethic, which I have to give credit to my father for. My dad is a mailman, but he's not only a mailman. In fact, during my childhood, my dad worked as many as 4 jobs at once to get us to college and to put food on the table, to make sure that we all had a future with hope. I was allowed to come with him on some of those jobs, and he and I would split up the workload, cleaning my aunt's office building. He took the bathrooms, thankfully, and I got to do the desks and the garbage. Before we could leave, my dad would inspect every room I cleaned, and I had to be approved before we could leave. My dad taught me as early as middle school that any job you do the best that you can. It doesn't matter what the job is. Even if it's not the most glorious job, even if it's cleaning bathrooms, you clean that bathroom better than anybody's ever cleaned a bathroom before. I remembered that lesson when I started working at Target, doing pretty similar work on the sales floor. In addition to restocking shelves and helping customers, it was my job to straighten up the aisles and make everything look neat and tidy. Well, most of my coworkers would do the bare minimum because they were making the bare minimum, right? Well, I eventually became a trainer. And one of the reasons I became a trainer was because I wouldn't just do the bare minimum. I would get through my area. We all had our own areas to do. And if we didn't do it, it didn't get done. So it was pretty obvious whose fault it was. But I would get my area done so that I could go and help somebody else get their area done. And eventually, they made me a trainer so that I could train others how to do that. And I would tell them, this really isn't rocket science. It's really just working hard. You know, you can't learn that from a book. You can't learn that from a training. You just do it. One time I was training a young man who asked me why I worked so hard for only $8 an hour. And I said, I don't think about my pay while I'm working. It's not about that to me. It's about doing my best no matter what the job is and no matter what I'm making for it, just like my father taught me. When I was serving a church of only 2 people, did I let that impact the ministry that I did? No. Of course not. I did the best I possibly could with those 2 people. Yes, my father taught me that work ethic, but don't worry, we had a whole lot of fun too. When my dad thought that we were about halfway done with our work, he would find me, and he had this toilet paper roll taped up, and he would find where I was and chuck it at my head, and then I knew it was on, because that was his challenge, that it is now time for halftime. And at halftime, we played a game. We set one chair up at that end of the office, and another chair at the opposite end of the office, and a garbage can in the middle, and we would have to see who could throw this taped up roll of toilet paper into the garbage can first. And whoever did was the winner. What was the prize? Pretty much just bragging rights, but we used that bragging rights the rest of the week. 20 years later, we still talk about those days with a smile on our face and with laughter. How much we were paid had no impact on how much we enjoyed our work or how well we did our work. Yesterday, Bev, Peg, Russ, Peggy, Missy, Angelica, Sherry, and I attended our annual charge conference at the Calvary Korean United Methodist Church in East Brunswick. Every year, the United Methodist Church has these things called charge conference to conduct the business of the church. And in between charge conference sessions, that authority is given to the church council. But the charge conference is still the governing body of the church. It is an opportunity to celebrate what's going well in the life of the church. It's an opportunity to make plans for what needs to be improved in the life of the church. And it also is an opportunity to give thanks for the past, particularly those who have died since the last charge conference. And today is All Saints' Day, so we've gathered to do that same thing as a church today. Today we give thanks to the saints who we have lost over the years, especially this one. And these lights represent all of those people. In the last 12 months, the church has also lost some very influential people. People who we call saints, not because they're dead, because they were saints before they died. We call them saints because they understood this Bible lesson. They understood that a Christian's work is never done. They understood that past success is not a reason to stop working. And they understood that their work can continue even after their deaths. The last 12 months have seen the church lose Wesley Thompson, Frank Schiappini, Kathy McMahon, George Rowson, and Doris Lang. But did their ministry and giving to the church stop the day their heart stopped? No. In the days and weeks and months afterwards, this church received donations in their name so that the work of the church could continue in their name even after their death. The work of a Christian is truly never done. How many names are on windows in this place and next door? How many rooms or buildings are named after people who are saints of the church? And every time we see them, we remember what they did for the Vincentown United Methodist Church and for the whole Christian church all over the world. They understood the lessons contained in 2 Thessalonians, which is a letter written by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Christians in Thessalonica. Many of Paul's letters have a similar purpose. First, like a good pastor, you start with the positives. You praise the church for what it is doing right. Then you correct some things that need correcting. This trio of authors were actually very pleased with the ministry that was going on in Thessalonica. They were doing good work. In fact, the main concern was that they would be doing so well that they would say, okay, we can stop now. We've done our job. Basically, the three writers were giving thanks to the Thessalonian Christians and all the saints that they worked with for growing their faith and for growing. But they are especially proud of how those Thessalonians never gave up because they faced some real serious hardships. They faced persecution. They faced violence. They faced death for their faith in Jesus Christ. But did they let that stop them? No. They had really good success and did really good things, but did they let that become an excuse to take a day off? No. The work of a Christian is never done. The saints of Vincentown United Methodist Church knew this too. It's what my dad taught me. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying to the church in Thessalonica, good work, saints. Now keep going. Yes, we had a great charge conference yesterday, but we can't just lay back and focus on last year's report. Last year is now gone. What about this year? Today is the first day of next year's charge conference report. And I stand here today wondering how I will brag about you next year. I can't wait to find out all the things that I can brag about next year, because I know that this is a church that will not stop, a church that has done good things in the past and we'll keep going. To keep growing the missions of the church and start new ones. To keep growing in worship attendance. To keep creating new ways for young people to find God in this place. To keep sharing the love of Jesus Christ with everyone in here and everyone out there. That doesn't mean that you have to keep doing what you've always done. In fact, sometimes that's where we get it wrong. We just keep doing what we've always done. Well, it hasn't worked in 50 years. Should we keep doing it? I had to ask my one church that. You've got two people left. I don't think it's working anymore. It doesn't mean you have to keep doing what you've always done. Things change. Situations change. Lives change. Abilities change. Interests and passions change. So what you do for the church is allowed to change along with you. It's okay to find ways to do the work of the church in ways that fit your stage of life. Churches don't survive for 191 years on accident. This church has survived 191 years because it has served its community well. We are the saints of today and tomorrow. And now it's our turn to do good work and keep going. Amen.